Greetings from Church of the Resurrection, and thank you for taking time to listen to this message. We hope you find this message meaningful and relevant. We invite you to join us in worship at any time. We are located just south of 135th Street between Roe and Nall Avenue in Leawood, Kansas. If you have any questions or comments, or you would like a DVD of this service, you may reach us by phone at 913-897-0120. Please ask for the Well Bookstore or visit our website at www.cor.org, where you will find a link for our catalog. And now, may you be blessed as you give attention to the reading of God's Word.
I want to invite you to take out your sermon notes and study guide, because we're going to, just for a very brief moment, look at the timeline that is on the very first note of your sermon notes. You'll see here where we have been in our sermon series this summer. We started with David, Bathsheba, and Solomon. And then we went to where the kingdom divided under the son of Solomon, King Rehoboam, a very evil king. And then we went on the next week to Jezebel and Ahab. And we know that there was then Israel was destroyed and Judah was exiled. There was this place where the people in this divided kingdom that had happened, they either went to Babylon or they went to Persia. But the people were taken away, the Jewish people dragged into exile. And here is where our story takes up today. Queen Esther is a Jewish woman in the Persian exile. And she finds herself being able to become queen in the land where she is exiled. And so at this time, I would invite you to stand as we honor the reading of the scripture. Pastor Prudy.
This is from the book of Esther, chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, "Do not think that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at such a time as this, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another quarter. But you and your father's family will perish. Who knows? Perhaps you have come to royal dignity for such a time as this." Then Esther said in reply to Mordecai, "Go, gather all the Jews to be found in Susa, and hold a fast on my behalf, and neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will also fast as you do. After that, I will go to the king, though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish." Mordecai then went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. May God bless the reading of God's word.
For if you keep silent at such a time as this, you and your whole family will perish. Who knows? Perhaps you came to royal dignity for such a time as this. These great words of scripture were the words that inspired our heroine of the day, Queen Esther. We know that this royal queen had come from a very harsh beginning and had taken on characteristics that made her queen. And that is what we're going to study as we look at the book of Esther. I want to just tell you a little bit about the book of Esther, though, that I think might be interesting for you. The book of Esther, actually, there are three versions of it. You know, we have in our Hebrew scripture, the Old Testament, there is the one that we're most familiar with. But there's a little bit of rub about that particular book, because it hardly mentions even the name of God. And it's in there very insidiously that God is working, but it's not really out there what God is doing. But if you look in the Apocrypha version, which is the Greek version, you'll find that God is right there in the midst of everything. And there's these wonderful prayers and this way that you'll find God really expressed. And so we're going to put all three of these versions together today and make the story come alive that I think will really bless you. We have four main characters in this great book. The first one is Esther. She is our heroine. And she is truly a wonderful process of what we can see. She's had a wonderful process throughout her life because she started with a very humble beginning. She started as a Hebrew orphan. Her name was Hadassah. Hadassah. And as she lost both her mother and father, her cousin Mordecai, who is our hero of the day, he decided he would be able to bring her into his family. And so she was adopted by Mordecai. And then we have our villain of the day, and this is Haman. Haman is a vice president type for the courtier of the king in the court. And he in a sense, is this rival of Mordecai, who is also this kind of vice president type. And they have this kind of rivalry going throughout the book, and you'll see that they really have something that will bring intrigue to the story as they work out their differences. Haman hates the Jews, and he's determined somehow to get rid of them. And then lastly, we have King Xerxes. King Xerxes is kind of this odd character for a king because he really is just kind of out there doing his own thing. You'll find throughout the book he doesn't even realize that his queen is Jewish, it seems like, and he doesn't realize what's happening. He's really ruled by his emotions and the court intrigue, and that's kind of how his character is portrayed. So our story begins then with these four main characters, and the king and his first queen, Vashti, they're having this great elaborate banquet and celebrating their kingdom. And the king calls for Queen Vashti and says, come to me. And she refuses. She says, you know, I'm not going to have it your way today. And you can imagine some days as queen, you might just think, you know, I'm not doing what this guy says today. And so she said that. But Queen Xerxes, he was angered by that, and he banished Vashti. And with that sets up the real story, because at this point, the king calls for all the brightest and best women to apply to become queen. And this is where Mordecai sees a moment where possibly Esther might come into power. And so we read that story, that part of the story, where she comes into the court. And so on the screen, you will see from Esther 2, 7 through 11, Mordecai had brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his cousin, for she had neither father nor mother. The girl was fair and beautiful. And when her father and her mother died, Mordecai adopted her as his own daughter. So when the young women were gathered in the citadel of Susa in custody of Haggai, Esther also was taken into the king's palace and put in custody of Haggai, who had the charge of the women. The girl pleased him and won his favor, and he quickly provided her with cosmetic treatments and her portion of food, with seven chosen maidens with the king's palace, and advanced her and her maids to the best place in the harem. Esther did not reveal her people or kindred, for Mordecai had charged her not to tell. Every day, Mordecai would walk around in front of the court of the harem to learn how Esther was and how she fared. So we have the story opening up with some very important points. This little girl was orphaned, and she had some real factors in her life where really fear could have taken over. Think of losing both your mother and your father, and you're not knowing what you're going to do. Can you imagine the fear that would have been for that little girl? But she was part of this great Jewish family, and they took her in and adopted her. And Mordecai, it says, taught her how to read and truly brought her along so that she was able to have skills that other women did not have. This was a great advantage to her as she was living then into her future. We also know that this little girl, and as she grew, was one who loved to please people. She learned that it was almost like she had to do that to survive. And the scriptures show us how she pleased people and she obeyed people. And we see that in time that served her, but there will come a moment where truly other people are working to serve her, because as she uses that, her faith come together with that understanding of pleasing people, but she also knows how to obey God. And that is what will serve her best in time. If you can just imagine, too, that as she was changing situations in this story, she was changing from being this little shy Jewish girl to becoming a part of this harem and probably wondered, what in the world, God, am I doing here? And again, she had to be on her knees and figure out how God was going to be a part of that. And the scriptures go on to tell us then that she does advance, and in chapter 2, verse 17, it says, "The king loved Esther more than all the other women. Of all the virgins, she won his favor and devotion, so that he set his royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti." Now, we know that she was queen for about 5 years before the plot really thickens. And this is where Haman comes on the scene as this wicked villain type. And he is out to kill all the Jews. And so he goes to the king. And again, King Xerxes, it makes you wonder where he is, but King Xerxes signs off on a decree to have all the Jews killed, which means genocide. It means genocide for not only for Esther, but for all of her family. And so it is at this point that those famous words of challenge come to Esther from Mordecai. And if we could see those words on the screen from chapter 4. "For if you keep silent at such a time as this, you and your father's family will perish. Who knows? Perhaps you have come to royal dignity for such a time as this." These words, "for such a time as this," they motivated our heroine to be able to live out something that she couldn't even imagine. Have you ever had a Mordecai in your life? Have you ever had someone who absolutely helped you imagine and challenge you at the exact right moment and said those kinds of words to you? I'm going to look at just a few ways that I think there can be Mordecais among us, and to develop that, what it is to be a Mordecai. One of the Mordecais in my own life was a woman named Irma Deeds. Now, Irma was this wonderful woman who lived out in the farming community with us in western Kansas. And Irma was an incredible seamstress. And, you know, you think, well, okay, so what's an incredible seamstress going to do to help you live into your life? But when I was 16, she helped me learn how to sew. And I mean to tell you, this wasn't just about potholders for the county fair. She helped me to learn how to sew garments, suits, and coats. And for many years, that's all I did was learn how to sew it with her tutelage. Well, she took me in that sophomore year and of my high school and helped me sew a coat. I took that coat and I went to the county fair, and yes, there's the coat on the screen. And yes, that is me. But that coat, I won a national contest with it. I went from Hutchinson to San Francisco, and there I won the national contest. And then I went on to New York City. And then that summer, I went on to Europe for the summer and saw great art and works there in Europe throughout the summer. But she helped me imagine what life could be like off the farm. I had no idea. But it was because of her that somebody launched me. Somebody took enough time in this little girl to be able to help her understand that there was life beyond the farm. And it's that kind of person who will help us imagine that is a Mordecai. Mordecais in our life help us imagine what the next step is. Another attribute of becoming a Mordecai is when someone will help you learn to be strategic. Now, being strategic doesn't necessarily mean that you are sneaky. What it means is that you learn to truly live into God's timing. It isn't about yourself anymore when you are strategic in God's ways. There was a particular woman who was my Mordecai again, and she helped me learn to be strategic. Her name was Jan Rhine. Jan was actually in service last night, and it was such a blessing. But she was the first woman pastor ordained here in the Kansas City district. She helped me imagine myself as a pastor and other women. But she also said to me things about being strategic. She helped me learn that what that meant. For her, being strategic meant that you didn't ever always say what was the first thing in your brain. You know, sometimes we immediately have something in our brain and it rolls right out of our mouth. She taught me to think before I spoke. There were times when I would hear her say, I would ask her a question, Jan, what do you think about this? And she would say, well, what do you think? And this was her way, her strategic way of helping me to learn to think. And then I would go into my prayer closet and I would pray about whatever it was. And then I would learn to know what God might be saying to me. And this is exactly what Mordecai was teaching Esther. He was teaching her to be prayerful about everything. So when it came to that moment, for such a time as this, that's exactly what she said back to him. She said, okay, you go into your prayer closet, and I'm going to go into my prayer closet, and we're going to pray. And she ordered him at that moment that this was how it was going to be lived out, that they were both going to be praying. And so then we're going to go to the Greek version and see this wonderful prayer that she prayed to God about her situation. And on the screen you will see from chapter 14 of the Greek version, Queen Esther was seized with deadly anxiety. She fled to the Lord. She took off her splendid apparel and put on garments of distress and mourning. And instead of costly perfume, she covered her head with ashes and dung and utterly humbled herself. She prayed to the Lord God of Israel and said, oh, my Lord, you only are our king. Help me who am alone and have no helper but you. Your servant has had no joy since the day that I was brought here until now, except in you, O Lord God of Abraham. O God, whose might be over all, hear the voice of the despairing and save us from the hands of the evildoers. And save me from my fear. So if we hold those two great verses of Scripture in tension, for such a time as this, and Lord, save me from my fear, and we put both of those together, we know that something great is about to happen, because God is going to be guiding the situation, and God is going to be opening it up and helping them imagine how it might be lived differently. Sue Thompson, Adam's assistant, has a great phrase for this kind of moment. She says, do you have it within you to tell truth to power? You know, and it is that kind of moment that Esther was living, being able to tell truth to power and to open things up to help people imagine things differently. Sometimes in our lives, we see ourselves, how can we live out the next chapter of our lives? And I know many of you have served as public servants. You have served in the military. And some of you are thinking about it now. I know some of you have come to me and you have said, you know, I'm thinking about running for office. What do you think? And I say, go for it. This may be the moment that God has prepared you for. It is like opening up that moment again where we can see ourselves differently in serving God and serving others. So it isn't just about ourselves any longer. We take on a place in our lives where it isn't about that individual piece, but it is about serving the larger body of Christ. It's about serving the world. And we saw Esther going through that in this book. She went through this period of growth, and she lived into a place where she was not only speaking for her country, for her people, but she was also speaking for God. And for me, when I read this story, she was speaking for women. She was at a point where really she was opening up, where women were serving differently. They were taking charge. And that piece of scripture is such an important one for all of us as we think of how, for such a time as this, she was prepared to change the world. When I see the world around us today and I think of the possibilities for all of us as a church, there is incredible energy in this room, as Pastor Judy said. When we pray and when we think of how we can change the world together, it is no longer about ourselves. It is about what we can do out in the world together. Recently, when our team came back from Africa, we were just overcome with all of the wonderful kinds of things that we had been able to be a part of. But we were also overwhelmed with the number of orphans that we had seen. The orphans in Africa are the Hadassahs of the world. And on the screen, you can see some of the faces of the children of Africa. These are the orphans, 14 million of them right now in Africa in this year. And by year 2010, there will be 25 million. This is a chance to be a Mordecai. And there are all sorts of Mordecais already that are leaning forward into this kind of great mission, and not only from this congregation, but from all over the world trying to help. But there was one young man who particularly was a Mordecai at the point that where we were there that really just touched all of us. A 17-year-old boy, an orphan himself, who had taken on the role of being the headmaster of an orphanage. He had teamed up with our church and with other churches, and he had provided for 250 orphans that run in the bushes during the day, but during the night, but during the day they come to his orphanage and they receive food and they receive clothing. They receive a little bit of education, and he is their Mordecai, this young 17-year-old. And as we were there and we spent the day with him, at the end of the day, I asked him if he had been baptized, and he said no. And so here you can see that last little bit of time we spent with him, I took my water bottle and I baptized him to become a great man of God. And you know, already he was becoming a great man of God. It was that moment, though, for us to be the Mordecai for him, as he was the Mordecai for others, that he was being stretched to be the Esther for the next generation. And now for all of us, we ask ourselves, what is ours to do? How can we make a way? There's a great line in Amazing Grace that you hear Barbara playing. Amazing Grace. Grace relieved my fears. You know, sometimes when we feel ourselves overwhelmed by whatever fear it is, there is this grace of God that comes to us, that helps us turn the page to the next chapter and imagine truly what God will have us do for such a time as this. Will you pray with me? Oh, most gracious, holy God, we are so very thankful. We're so thankful, O God, first of all, for your inspired word and for the way, O God, that it helps us imagine ourselves differently. For the way, O God, that it helps us be encouraged about what tomorrow might look like. O God, help us to be the Mordecais of the world. Help us to be the Esthers that will change the world. Help us, O God, when we don't know what that looks like, that we might find ourselves open to your way. Whatever way that is, O Lord, we know that your Son is the way maker. So we ask that you let your light, his light, shine through us to transform this world. In his name we pray. Amen.